event made possible with the support of Baker Orchard at Centuria. This is Sand of the Plant Lady. Let's get started. So, good morning, everyone. I just want to remind everyone about the archives being on our website now, WPCARadio.org. So you can go to the top toolbar there over to the right and click on Plant Rants, and they go from the oldest to the newest, so if the most recent is going to be at the bottom. And remind everyone to please go to WPCA FM 93.1 and like us on Facebook. We're trying to build up that community a little bit and have some fun there. So hopefully people will go on and like us on Facebook. So, and then I hope people understood, too, the connection last month. I had Duana Bremer on from Salvation Army, and so we talked a lot about the backpack program, but I just want to reiterate our connection to food and community and also creating independence through being able to grow food and just the benefits of plants. And even if you don't eat any plants, if you eat only meat, that meat had eaten plants first before you were eating it. So just our interconnection with food and with community. So I hope that folks kind of made that connection. But at any rate, happy solstice. We had our longest day of the year here in the end of June a week ago or so, and hopefully folks, you're celebrating that. I know even the other night, oh my gosh, it was like 10 o'clock at night and it still seemed light out. And of course, these last few days we've had such great weather. It's been so nice to have the air conditioning off without the humidity. So even though it's 80 or 90, without that moisture in the air, what a difference. So then, yeah, last month was Lisa's walk. So I hope that people were able to get out and enjoy and do the plant ID out there. So and then I want to say thanks again to Baker Orchard, 3 miles north of Highway 8 on Wisconsin 35 at Centuria. Baker Orchard, gourmet apple since 1976, open Labor Day weekend through October. They have an art festival the fourth weekend in September. More information at bakerorchard.com or like them on Facebook. Baker Orchard is a proud supporter of the Plant Rant. And I should say good morning, Bob. How are you today?
I'm here.
Okay, good.
You know how that is. You come in and you say, oh, gee, again? And then you get into it and it's too much fun.
I never say, oh, again. I always think it's too much fun. I love it, so... So, yeah, a little different. If it sounds weird, folks, I'm back at home just doing a little preventative quarantining, and so far so good for me, but choosing to stay home today. So I'm getting a little bit of feedback here, so I'm slightly sidetracked, but I'm practicing mindfulness and just ignoring the feedback. So I'm hoping no one else is getting that.
I'm not hearing it.
What's that?
I'm not hearing it.
Okay, good. So it's just me.
There you go. It's always just you, Sandra.
Hey, well, it is all about me.
Exactly.
So I want to, I guess kind of the body of the show today is going to be the community calendar, which normally I start the show off with that. So I will, and I'm just going to take my time going through the community calendar today because that's going to be kind of one of the main thing. Not being in studio, I'm not having a guest on today, although I have some fun folks lined up for the next few months. Actually, if the gal who was on today doesn't come on, I've got somebody else lined up for August. Otherwise, we'll bump everybody August, September. So I've never quite been this organized this the last few months, but it's fun. It means people are interested in the show, interested in the station, and I'm having more people reaching out about wanting to be involved with the station, and people who are following us on Facebook have seen that we've got quite a few new underwriters getting involved, and hopefully those folks will be also getting on the coffee class and have an interview with Bob so we can learn you know, more about them and their businesses and business people in our community. So it's been, that's been really exciting. So, well, for community calendar, so this weekend, so the Friendly Forager, Tana Worrell, who was my guest in April, I think, which sadly the power went out, so that interview is not in the archives. I'd like to have her on again sometime because we really had a lot to talk about. So in addition to her monthly tours that she does, her monthly classes, she does other things out in the community. So she has something actually coming up this Sunday at Franconia at the Sculpture Park, July 3rd, from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And there's more information. All of her info can be found online at thefriendlyforager.com. And let's see, I should get people a phone number because I know not everybody is online. So let me just get that. So 715-491-6422 to get a hold of Tana. And I would hope by now you all have your notes, have your pen and paper ready at the beginning of my program. So counting on that. But a fun thing, if you want to extend your time at Franconia on Sunday, there's a farmer's market and an art fair that day as well, and that starts at 10. Everything is free except in class, except the sculpture park charges $5 to park. So, but $5 is a small investment. Pack up your car with some friends and check that out. And then, speaking of the farmers markets, so Amory does a great job and has such a nice market, but I did discover over the weekend that the St. Croix Falls Farmers Market, which is Saturdays from 10 to 1, they accept EBT and food share. So Duana and I touched base a little bit on this last week of being able to use your Wisconsin Food Share, SNAP card, EBT, whatever you name you want to call it, to buy, you know, plants, fruit and vegetable, or vegetable plants and herbs. But the St. Croix Farmers Market is set up to be able to accept your food card there. So it's a great way for people who have these food benefits to be able to buy good, fresh food. And I mean, this is grass-fed beef, this is lamb, my gosh, there's, not that weekend, but most weekends there's a person who makes bread syrup, what am I missing? Just, you know, and of course more produce as that's coming, but, so, not a lot of markets that I know of offer that. I know someone came all the way from Luck to St. Croix to be able to use their food cards. So for folks who can shop at the farmers market, they are set up there and you can get some great local food. Actually, several of our folks from Amory, the one gal from Amory is actually running the St. Croix Farmers Market. Whetstone Farm is out there. The Cosmic Wheel Creamery is there. So great way to get out, support them and support your body with good fresh food. So that, I thought that was really exciting and a good tie-in for last week's program as well. So some more events coming up. So I mentioned Whetstone Farm. They have these second Saturday community meals. So this started in June, so you've only missed one if you weren't there. The next one's July 9th, but they're the second Saturday of the month, and they start at 3 and go until dark, and that goes all the way through October. So good food, good people, good conversation. You're welcome to come at 3 o'clock. It sounds like typically the food doesn't happen until maybe 5 or 6, so don't come totally hungry. And then it is set up potluck style, and you're not obligated to bring anything. So if you don't have a lot of time, don't worry about it. But if you'd like to bring something to share, and then obviously if it's something that needs to be kept cold or kept hot, and it's going to be several hours before eating, if you come at 3, you'll want to, you know, make accommodations for that, keeping, you know, using a crock pot, bringing an extra cord or something, and then, or a cooler on ice to keep your salad cold or whatever. But just great people. I know I'm looking forward to going to that. I know Anthony's been out there before for their events and just had a really great time. Super fun for the kids. Great way to get out and meet our local farmers and our community. And so the neighbors to Whetstone Farm are a couple of great people, Cass and Clint. Well, I've only met Cass, but I've heard Clint would be an awesome guest to have on Plant Rant. So we're going to look forward to that hopefully in the next couple of months. And I think Cass will be coming on the Coffee Clatch one day too, so you folks can tune in the weekday mornings and listen to that. But their farm and their business is called Cultivating the Commons. And they are having a bloom tour that Saturday, July 9th. And like I said, they are neighbors to Whetstone Farm. And so Whetstone Farm, their address is 281 135th Street, Amory, which I think might actually be C. They're, like the C that runs south out of Amory and comes to 65, not the C that loops north. I swear, no matter where you go, you're going to find a C around here. It's crazy. So, and then Cultivating the Commons, their address, and let me get it here because, it's, oh, there it is, 260 135th Avenue. One says street and one says avenue. Okay, Sandra, let's look here. Where is my thing? Yes, 135th Street, folks. Sorry about that. I knew they were neighbors, so when the two addresses weren't matching. Excuse me. So Saturday, July 9th, 3 o'clock at Cultivating the Commons. It'll be like a 1 to 2 hour walk, and then followed with then the community dinner and a campfire at Whetstone. But what I'm excited about with Cultivating the Commons is they're a seed farm. They grow seed crops, so they're seed savers, and they grow plants to collect the organic seed. So I've never done a lot with seeds, although observing my garden today, seeds must like me because I've got some volunteer corn that came from our Indian corn last year, our decorative fall corn, sunflowers coming up. And the milkweed looks fabulous and smelling great right now. So seeds are there, and they do their thing. When I started seeds, and this was years ago, I need to be brave again. I wasn't always successful. But these folks grow plants to collect seeds. So the bloom tour, though, will be seeing, like, kale in bloom that they're growing to collect the seed to be able to grow kale again. So I am so intrigued, and I look forward to getting Clint and Cass, one or the other, or both, as guests on Plant Rant so we can learn more about this. I mean, I've been doing horticulture for a long time now, and it's just amazing. There's so much still to know and to learn, and even with the hops, so I've been working with the hops, you know, a little bit seasonally for the last 5 years, and there's still so much to learn. So I'm always loving when I get exposed to new things. So Cultivating the Commons, make an afternoon of it, go take their walk, go to hang at Whetstone afterwards. I definitely plan to be there unless hopefully nothing else would come up, because I think it'll just be a great time. Cultivating the Commons, you can find them on Facebook. I did not, when I looked up a website, I actually found kind of an interesting article about from Oakland, California, where they're trying to get it so people can garden in common spaces in the community, which is, that could be its whole own topic. So you can find them on Facebook. Whetstone Farm is on Facebook. I already shared Cultivating the Commons. Their post for the Bloom Tour is on our WPCA Facebook page now, so you can find that there as well if that's easier, if you're already synced up with us. And yeah, feel free to make comments in the comments box too, so we know that you're out there and seeing. And please share too. I mean, sharing is caring. If we're going to expand our community of our radio community and our farming community and our underwriter community, hitting that share button is going to get all the folks that you're friends with on Facebook that information too. So if there's something that you like, please, sharing is caring. I can't say it enough, and I would love to see our community grow virtually or otherwise. Even though it's a virtual thing, we're promoting real people and real places that are in our community. So, well, since I was talking about seeds, and you all know I just love my little book, so I'm going to read today, since I don't have a guest, and we've got some extra time here, doing good on time. I'm going to read from The Gardener's Year, Carol K. Peck, my favorite little witty book, and I'm going to read about seeds. I may have read part of this before, but that's fine. I'm going to read it again. Seeds. Some people say that charcoal should be added, and others deny it. Some recommend a dash of yellow sand, because it is supposed to contain iron, while others warn you against it for the very fact that it does contain iron. Others, again, recommend clean river sand. Others, peat alone. And still others, sawdust. In short, the preparation of the soil for seeds is a great mystery and a magical ritual. To it should be added marble dust, but where to get it? Three-year-old cow dung. Here it is not clear whether it should be the dung of a three-year-old cow or a three-year-old heap. A handful from a fresh molehill, clay pounded to dust from old pigskin boots, sand from the Elbe, but not from the Vltava. Three-year-old hotbed soil, and perhaps besides the humus from the golden fern and a handful from the grave of a hanged virgin, all that should be well mixed. Gardening books do not say whether at the new moon or full or on midsummer night. And when you put this mysterious soil into flower pots, soaked in water, which for 3 years have been standing in the sun, and on whose bottoms you put pieces of boiled crockery and a piece of charcoal, against the use of which other authorities, of course, express their opinions. When you have done all that and so obeyed hundreds of prescriptions, principally contradicting each other, you may begin in the real business of sowing the seeds. With regard to seeds, some look like snuff, others like very light blonde nits, or like shiny and blackish blood-red fleas without legs. Some are flat like seals, others inflated like balls, others thin like needles. They are winged, prickly, downy, naked, and hairy. Big like cockroaches, and tiny like specks of dust. I tell you that every kind is different, and each is strange. Life is complex. Out of this big plumed monster, a low and dry little thistle is supposed to grow, whereas out of these yellow nits, a fat, gigantic cotyledon is supposed to come. What am I to do? I simply don't believe it. Well, have you sown your seeds yet? Have you put the pots into lukewarm water and covered them with glass? Have you shaded the windows against the sun and shut them so that a hotbed of 100 degrees will be produced in your room? Very well, then. Now the great and feverish activity of every sower begins, that is, waiting. Drenched with sweat, without coat, in his shirt sleeves, the breathless watcher bends over the pot, and with his eyes he draws up the sprout, which ought to come out. The first day, nothing comes up, and the watcher tosses in his bed at night, unable to await the morning. The second day, on the mysterious soil, a tuft of mold appears. He rejoices that this is the first sign of life. The third day, something creeps up on a long white leg and grows like mad. He exults almost aloud that it is here already, and he tends the first seedling like a mother nursing her child. The fourth day, when the shoot has stretched to an impossible length, the watcher becomes anxious, for it might be a weed. Soon it is evident that the fear was not unreasonable. Always the first thing, long and thin, which grows in a pot is a weed. Obviously, it must be some law of nature. Well then, sometimes on the eighth day, or still later, without any warning, in a mysterious, unregulated moment, for nobody ever saw or caught it, the soil is silently forced apart, and the first shoot appears. I always thought that a plant grew either from the seed downwards like a root, or from the seed upwards like the halm of a potato. I tell you, that it is not like that. Almost any plant grows from under the seed upwards, lifting the seed on its head like a cap. Think if a child should grow carrying its mother on its head. It is simply a wonder of nature, and this athletic deed is performed by almost any shoot. It lifts the seed with an always braver thrust until one day it drops it and it throws it away, and now it stands here, naked and fragile, bulky or lean, and has on its top two such ridiculously small leaves, and between those two leaves something will become visible later. But what I shall not tell you yet, I have not got so far. It is only two tiny leaves on a pale little leg. So strange. It has so many variations. It is different with every plant. What did I want to say? Oh, I know. Nothing. Only that life is more complicated than one can imagine. So that is from The Gardener's Year, Carol Capek, which I just love. That little book. And more on seeds, and kind of just interesting. So Cultivating the Commons, we're going to get to learn more from them at the Bloom Tour and hopefully on the show. Another for Latin lesson, which we haven't done in a while. I ran into this recently with the difference between a common name and a Latin name, and why it can be the difference is important. So I was at a friend's helping her with some gardening, and there were some plants, and the deer had been nibbling on them, so sometimes things can be harder, to ID when they're not in their normal growth stage and have been trimmed and cut, but could see the opposite leaf pattern, could see the honeysuckle-shaped flowers, and talked about it being a honeysuckle. And my friend asked me, well, aren't they invasive? And, of course, these ones, the deer were going to eat them before they could fruit. Typically, a lot of these invasive species, some things spread from runners under the ground, but a lot of things like buckthorn and the honeysuckle get spread by the birds and animals eating the berries and then leaving them out in the world with a little bit of fertilizer. And we know the rest, and they take over the woods and things. So, but we talked about these ones and how, the deer are eating them anyway, and we were sticking hostas in, so we were yanking some out by the roots. And then I got to thinking about it later, actually, when I was at the farmer's market in St. Croix Falls, I saw Deervilla lonicera, which is dwarf bush honeysuckle, which is a very low, a lot of times used for erosion control, tolerate sun, tolerate shade, good fall color, little yellow blooms. And I was like, oh, that's what the plant was. And I kind of had that hunch at the time. Well, I always follow a hunch. So it was dwarf bush honeysuckle, which is Deervilla lonicera. It's a native, low-growing shrub, great for erosion control, kind of more of a ground cover type thing, great for hillsides, native, not invasive, even though it spreads. That's why it works well for keeping out weeds and holding in soil, versus, say, Lonicera japonica, which is a Japanese honeysuckle, and there's many other non-native invasive honeysuckle. But do you hear that name? So the one, the genus is Dervilla, the species is Lonicera, versus honeysuckle, the non-native, the genus is Lonicera, and then there's various species. So this is where those Latin names come in. So that Lonicera part of the Dervilla Lonicera does describe it as being similar to honeysuckle, similar flower, opposite leaf pattern, but that difference being the genus is what's going to make the knowledge that, okay, this isn't in the same category, though, as the more invasive Lonicera's, but invasive honeysuckle. So just those common names versus the Latin names, again, it makes a difference. And that, and knowing what plant you have. I mean, what if we would have thought, oh, this is invasive, dug out all these great plants, when really it's a native plant that's going to work well in that spot, in the shade, and help hold soil in place, look nice in the fall, get little blooms, and maybe the deer will eat that and leave the dang hosta alone in that garden. So, so yeah, let's see. That's kind of what I have. I know we have a few minutes left. I've been picking, I guess I'll just talk about what's been happening on the farm. Been picking peony like crazy. Now they're pretty much finished, so it's pretty much just been going through the field and deadheading them. But when they still look so good, I can't help myself. I can't get myself just to want to cut them off. So I've been making just tons and tons of bouquets. I have peonies in bowls. I have peonies in little vases and big vases. I mean, maybe I only have some things are a bouquet of one, and some might be a bouquet of a dozen. The house has smelt amazing. I kind of had an allergy thing going on the last week, and I'm or a summer cold type thing. So I don't know. I would hate to blame the peonies for my allergies. I'm not giving up my bouquets. They're just too pretty, and they make the house smell so good. And then this weather right now, even though it's been high temps, like I said, no humidity, it's a great time to get out and get some weeding in. I know the gardens have filled in nice, but those always a few little weeds that pop in. I've been trying to keep up with the weeding at the Baker Orchard. But whew, they have a lot of gardens there, and I've tried to just 1 week focus on thistle and 1 week focus on grass. So sometimes you just have to divide up your labor and focus on what you can. My own yard's been a lot of jewelweed, which I love to leave for the hummingbirds, and it's great. Today I was next to some nettle, and well, my jewelweed was right there, so I could crack open that stem and rub the awesome juice from the jewelweed onto my skin and get some soothing. But it gets a little too crazy. But it's one of the best weeds to pull. It's almost easier. Let it get a little bit bigger, and it just pulls right out. They have a really shallow root system. And then some Creeping Charlie, which, again, I know people don't like that plant, but I don't really mind it. It pulls up pretty easy. So it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it. And then a little bit of watering. There's a friend across the way who's got a cabin, and I've been doing a little watering and cleaning out bird baths and thing over there. And it's just nice. Get this nice walk in the woods and be in a beautiful place. So that's pretty much what's happening with me and on the farm. I hope everyone is doing well. And fun stuff coming up. I know Amory's got the ice cream social today, so get over and check that out. I was hoping to do musical chairs over there, but I'm not able to make that happen for this event, but there'll be more opportunities. So hopefully everyone gets over and has some ice cream and has fun. And again, thank you, Baker Orchard. The Plant Rant on WPCA Radio has been made possible by Baker Orchard at Centuria. All right, everyone, I will be back next month.